Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly.
Is your figure less than Greek? Is your mouth a little weak?
This opening tune, My Funny Valentine, sung here by Johnny Mathis, sets the tone for the theme of today's special Valentine's Day music program about love in general and unrequited love in particular. Today's music review program therefore presents love songs across our usual coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these relevant musical trivia questions.
Funny Valentine's Day.
Our musical trivia questions come to us from the websites boardpanda.com and history.com. Question number one. Which one of the following statements about love is supported by scientific research? Is it A, couples who are too similar to each other are not likely to last? Is that true? Well, how about B, then? An attractive body is preferred over an attractive face for long-term relationships. Or is it C, butterflies in the stomach is just a myth about what happens when falling in love? Or is it D, the only truly faithful series where mates stay together a lifetime is the human species? So which one of those four statements about love is actually supported by scientific research findings? And question number two. While it has long been a practice to give gifts, flowers, candy, to augment love during Valentine's, what was sent in the Victorian era to discourage potential suitors? Was it A, poison, B, vinegar valentines, C, moldy cheese, D, smelly socks, or E, black roses? Something to encourage unrequited love, perchance. What was it? The answers to these two important musical trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of February the 14th. Well, it was on this day back in 1958 that the Dick Clark Show debuted on ABC TV. Connie Francis, Pat Boone, and Jerry Lee Lewis were the first performers to appear on this show. 1958 today. And it was 47 years ago today, 1973, that David Bowie collapsed at the end of his Valentine's Day show at New York's Radio City Music Hall, reportedly due to total exhaustion. 1973. We should start today's program with some definitions and history, and then a bit of background to the song which opened today's program, My Funny Valentine. So, what exactly is unrequited love, anyway? Well, the shortest answer, perhaps, is that it is love that is not returned. But that may oversimplify the many varieties and causes of unrequited love. One writer, for example, notes that medieval literature is replete with stories of traveling minstrels whose shtick was to sing lonesome songs about how much in love they were with the noblewoman on the next estate over, and how sad it was because she was so very far above his reach and probably didn't even know who he was, and they would never, ever, ever, ever be together. Some analysts claim these sung stories may have been the direct lineal ancestors of country music. Regardless, some types of unrequited love do seem to be the result of perceived class, culture, family, and religious differences. Unrequited love might also be the product of personality. Painfully shy individuals, for example, may pine for others that they believe they can only meet in their dreams. Another writer notes that all of us who have experienced unrequited love at some time or the other have turned to music for comfort. Unrequited love songs can make one feel that he or she is not the only person in the world going through that kind of pain, and thus help overcome that feeling of loneliness and dejection. Whatever the cause of unrequited love, however, the results can be especially painful on Valentine's Day. So what is the history of this holiday? A brief history of Valentine's Day and the saint for whom it's named is shrouded in mystery. An August 29, 2019 History.com article states that there were several saints named Valentine who were martyred, but the story most resembling unrequited love, perhaps, has a Valentine imprisoned by the Romans for helping Christians. This Valentine falls in love with a young girl, possibly the jailer's daughter, who visited him during his confinement. Before his death, it is alleged that he wrote her a letter signed, "From Your Valentine," an expression that is still in use today. Although the truth behind the Valentine legends is murky, the stories all emphasize his appeal as a sympathetic and, most importantly, romantic figure. By the Middle Ages, perhaps thanks to this reputation, Valentine would become one of the most popular saints in England and France. As a 2/13/11 NPR article concludes, "And so the celebration of Valentine's Day goes on in varied ways. Many will break the bank buying jewelry and flowers for their beloveds. Others will celebrate in a sad," that's Single Awareness Day, by the way, "way, dining alone and bringing on self-gifted chocolates. A few may even be spending the day the same way the early Romans did, but let's not go there." The first love song highlighted in today's special program was the opening track by Johnny Mathis, "My Funny Valentine." But is that about unrequited love? Well, as it turns out, yes, it was. As noted in GuideToMusicalTheater.com, in the 1937 musical Babes in Arms, Val, which is short for his full name Valentine, falls for the glamorous juvenile lead in the play, and his feelings are soon reciprocated. A passionate embrace between the two is interrupted by young Susie, who is crazy about Val and jealous of the glamorous arrival. Val only sees Susie as a younger sister type, but for her, he is my quote-unquote funny Valentine. So it's not a male like the hundreds of romantic singers like Johnny Mathis would have us believe, serenading a female love, but a young woman, unable to bridge her unrequited feelings for a man. So what about unrequited love songs from other genres? Country music, for example. Actually, it's difficult to find many country songs that aren't about unrequited love. Rumor had it back in the 60s that if you played a rock record backwards on the turntable, you'd hear demonic messages. And then someone added that if you played a country record backwards on the turntable, you get your dog back, your lovers back, and most of your possessions. Unrequited love indeed. To mention but a few of the many songs in this genre, there's Eddie Arnold's "You Don't Know Me," Hank Williams' "Cold, Cold Heart," "Sweet Dreams" by Patsy Cline, "All I Have to Do Is Dream" by the Everly Brothers, "When I Fall in Love" by Sandra Dee, and even local legend Scotty McCreery, "Write My Number on Your Hand." Here's another familiar country song about unrequited love. See if you recognize this one.
My dreams come true. My life I'd give for you. My heart a wedding ring. My all, my everything. My heart I can't control. You rule my very soul.
Yep, that's Conway Twitty, and it's only make-believe. And perhaps closely related is the Righteous Brothers classic Unchained Melody, a tune that made the movie Ghost. This is a film that underscores a more permanent source of unrequited love, and it is a song that has an interesting backstory to boot. As told by Linda D. Nicola in a 2003 article published in Dancer.com titled The Sad But True Story of Unchained Melody, William Styrat, a.k.a. High Zaret, was 16 when he wrote the lyrics to this song, but it would take him 19 years to hear his song sung in public. When the song finally hit the charts in 1955, it went straight to the top and has been there on and off for almost half a century. Styrat was infatuated with, quote-unquote, the prettiest girl in the neighborhood. He remembers well the frustration of being too shy to act on his feelings, the stuttered responses when she spoke to him, the frozen reaction when she smiled at him. Now, I think she was in love with me, too, but I was too shy to do anything or even to talk to her, Styrat says 67 years later. The romantic teenager wrote about his need and his longing, and then he went on with his life, a life full of real and enduring relationships, engaging work, travel, and recognition for accomplishments other than songwriting. But all along, there was an unchained melody running through his life. But it wasn't the girl that haunted his life. It was the song. The romantic boy became a romantic man. And in 1958, when he saw the woman who would become his wife for the first time, across a room, he fell in love. They have been married for 45 years and have 3 children and 6 grandchildren. Whether Styrat was right about not going into songwriting as a profession is anyone's guess. I wanted to write that song for 2 reasons, he said. I needed money for college, and I wanted to get that girl. In 1964, Styrat happened to run into that girl again. She had already been married twice. Styrat indicated that he had made the right decisions about unrequited love. Well then, how about unrequited love songs from classical music? Tchaikovsky's Romeo and Juliet Overture introduces our classical music love song, which reminds us that sometimes love is unrequited due to caste and familial restrictions. As noted by Betsy Schwarm in Britannica Encyclopedia, Romeo and Juliet Fantasy Overture after Shakespeare by Peter Ilyich Tchaikovsky continues to be much loved as a concert piece. Further, its central love theme is frequently quoted today in romantic scenes for film and television. The work was premiered in Moscow on March the 4th, 1870. The idea for a piece using the story of William Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet was suggested by an older, more experienced colleague of Tchaikovsky, who proposed the subject matter, possible themes, and a general outline of the work. Rather than portraying the play's events in the order in which they occur, Tchaikovsky presents a variety of characters and moods whose melodies offer effective musical contrast. The work opens with a serene clarinet and bassoon melody that represents the lover's ally, the somber and reflective Friar Lawrence. The music then shifts to suggest violence, with a chaotic theme for the feuding Montague and Capulet families. Soon Tchaikovsky introduces a new melody, the soaring love theme of Romeo and Juliet themselves. As the piece progresses, love and violence share the stage with a sense of growing urgency until the love theme is reprised in a minor key, suggesting their tragic deaths. The work concludes with a hint of Friar Lawrence's melancholy theme as he arrives on the scene too late to prevent the two suicides. By the way, every year thousands of romantics send letters addressed to Verona, Italy, to Juliet, the subject of the timeless romantic tragedy. The city marks the location of the Shakespearean tale, and the letters that reach the city are dutifully answered by a team of volunteers from the Juliet Club. Each year on Valentine's Day, the club awards the Cara Giulietta, Dear Juliet, prize to the author of the most touching love letter. Romeo and Juliet is a timeless tale of unrequited love, as evidenced by the 1996 film of the same name. Here we have a contemporary portrayal of that love theme and song, the Cardigans performing their hit Love Fool from that movie.
Mama tells me I should.
As noted by Rebecca Milzoff in an October 5, 2016 Billboard magazine article, that uber earworm of a song, Love Fool, playing in the background now, was already a hit in Europe by the time the movie Romeo and Juliet was released in late 1996. And then the U.S. caught on tremendously, according to frontwoman for the Cardigans, Nina Persson. The song spent 7 weeks at number one on the Pop Songs Airplay chart, beginning in February of 97. Persson says, for the music video, we had an actor playing a handsome man love interest of mine. But after the success of the Romeo and Juliet film, the video became ubiquitous on MTV, cementing Persson's public image as a flaxen-haired pixie floating at sea, a message in a bottle in human form. So while we're in the film and Broadway musical genre, let's acknowledge the cellophane man standing over there in the corner. This is John C. Reilly from the musical film Chicago, singing Mr. Cellophane, the lyrics to which capture how some unrequited lovers must feel sometimes.
And even without clucking like a hen, everyone gets noticed now and then. Unless, of course, that personage should be invisible, inconsequential, me. Cellophane, Mr. Cellophane, should have been my name, Mr. Cellophane, 'cause you can look right through me, walk right by me, and never know I'm there, I tell you.
And as noted by Mark Robinson on the 8th of February 2018 in BroadwayDirect.com, there's a reason that the Phantom of the Opera has run for 30 years, and romance is a big part of its longevity. Would we, however, keep going back if there weren't that central story, that love triangle? These three characters are central to the Gaston Leroux novel on which the musical is based, and telling their tale through music heightens their anguish while making their love palpable. Is there anything more soaring and romantic than Christine and Raoul professing their love in All I Ask of You? And is there anything more achingly tragic than the Phantom's reprise of the song atop the opera house? We all love a tragic romance, and the Phantom of the Opera does that arguably better than any other musical.
I love you from the bottom of my heart. That's not gonna change, but things look grim when I'm watching you watch him. I give you the best a man can hope to give, but I'm not feeling brave, chances are slim when I'm watching you watch him.
Rock and pop music is another one of those genres replete with songs about unrequited love. This one, for example, Eric Hutchinson's 2012 Watching You Watch Him song. It's about a guy who cannot figure out why the woman of his dreams loves another and not him. As the lyrics say, God only knows why I still wait around, except I hate to see you cry. And I need you, but there are things I cannot do. And I love you like a broken record plays, but I'm a window playing a phantom limb when I'm watching you watch him. Eric Hutchinson said in songfacts.com, I realized later that I had been in relationships like that before, and I'd always had a way to talk about that sort of thing, and I knew what that feeling felt like, to be invisible to somebody. Watching you watch him is about being in love from afar. Well, needless to say, there are thousands of other tunes we could have included in today's special program about unrequited love. I hope we've included some of the ones that you listeners remember fondly. In the 2/12/15 issue of The Economist, author Ted Giola relates how his recent book, Love Songs, The Hidden History, was met by some colleagues with a dismissive smile. Giola responded that far from being wimpy music, love songs are radical and disruptive. They have survived repression, expanded human freedom, and proved uniquely hospitable to the voices of the marginalized. Perhaps the time is right for even more love songs. So, how'd you do on today's musical trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, which one of the following statements about love is supported by scientific research? Is it A, couples who are too similar to each other are not likely to last? Is it B, an attractive body is preferred over an attractive face for long-term relationships? Is it C, butterflies in the stomach is just a myth about what happens when falling in love? Or is it D, the only truly faithful species where mates stay together up to a lifetime is the human species? Correct answer? Answer A, couples who are too similar to each other, in fact, are not likely to last. As noted by Audra in a scientific research article from BoardPanda.com in 2015. As the well-known saying goes, opposites attract, and research shows that this is partly true. Couples that are either too similar or too different, for that matter, tend not to last very long. Apparently, there always has to be a foundation of similarity, but there also have to be things that the two of you learn from each other. As for answer D, even though we often think of ourselves as a faithful species, we're not the only one in the animal kingdom, or insect kingdom for that matter. Wolves, swans, gibbons, black vultures, albatrosses, and even termites are just a few of those animals that find a mate for a lifetime. As for answer C, when you fall for someone, you probably won't be able to avoid the butterflies flying, dancing, and fooling around in your stomach. They're caused by adrenaline, which floods your body during flight or fight response situations. And answer B, there's evidence that when looking for a fling, the body wins over the face on a physical attraction basis. The opposite is true, however, for those who are looking for a long-term relationship partner. And the answer to our second question, while it has long been a practice during Valentine's to give cards, flowers, or candies to reflect your love, what was commonly sent in the Victorian era to discourage potential suitors? Was it A, poison, B, vinegar valentines, C, moldy cheese, D, smelly socks, or E, black roses? Correct answer? Answer B, vinegar valentines. History.com reports that those who didn't want the attention of certain suitors would anonymously send vinegar valentines. According to Smithsonian Magazine, these cards, also called penny dreadfuls, were the antithesis of customary valentines, comically insulting and rejecting unwanted admirers. Sold in the United States and Britain, these cards featured an illustration and a short line or poem that, rather than offering messages of love and affection, insulted the recipient. By the mid-19th century, vinegar valentines represented about half of all valentine sales in the U.S. Although manufacturers didn't invent vinegar valentines, they expanded upon them. They were a part of the Valentine craze from the earliest years of commercialization. These cards are a good reminder that no matter how much people complain that the holiday makes them feel either too pressured to buy the perfect gift or too sad about being single, it could be worse. As shown in today's coverage, love songs, especially unrequited love songs, can be beautiful, but also sad. So let's close out this special Valentine's program on an optimistic note with Etta James performing her classic requited love song, At Last.
At last,
well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. And as we leave you, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Content of this program intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Music Review, readily available as a podcast after the broadcast in the NCRS website, NorthCarolinaReadingService.org. Now, if you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me, Randy Thompson at 919-832-5138. So long, until next time.
A dream that I